Hey everyone, before this podcast begins, we want to tell you about some other arts-related podcasts you're going to love. They are The Conduit Music Podcast, Artsville, Gringo and the Man, Art World Horror Stories, and Not Real Art. On these action-packed podcasts, you'll hear experts talk about creativity, design, the music biz, the art world, visual art, American craft, Chicano art, street art, graffiti, and even stand-up comedy. So be sure to find and follow these great arts podcasts today. Now, back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Hello, this is Siri, and you're listening to my favorite podcast, Not Real Art. I live for this shit because it's totally lit.
Welcome to Not Real Art, Siri's favorite podcast.
That's right. Your hosts, Man One.
And the guy that shall remain nameless. I prefer my anonymity.
Yeah.
I want to keep a low profile.
All right.
You know, I think fame is like overrated.
Okay.
I want to be able to walk down the street and not have people ask me for my autograph.
All right. Well, just so you know, everyone out there, I'm sitting next to Banksy. So he doesn't want to say he's Banksy, but...
Well, don't tell him where we're at, all right?
Yeah.
It's the last thing I need. The low profile. That's the thing. Like, I think anonymity is really, like, the new black. I mean, it's like for me, it's like way more... Give me fortune. Keep the fame.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, but we're in LA, right? So fame is currency in of itself. I mean, I've seen some broke ass reality stars get into some very cool clubs just because they were famous.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
Meanwhile, I was trying to slip the bouncer $100 to let me in, and he told me to get back in the line, you know, because he didn't know who the hell I am. You know?
Yeah, that's right. And it's LA.
So.
That's how it works.
You know? But yeah, I don't know. I just, you know, I like to be able to walk around and, you know, be incognito.
Yeah, well, you know.
You can't do that, though. I mean, people know you.
It depends.
Like, it feels like every time we're out, someone's like, are you Man One?
Yeah, my kids have a running joke about that.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Because it's, you know, like, they can't take me anywhere without me being recognized, they say. And it's so funny because it's, you know, it's such a, I'm known in such a small subculture, I think, of the art world,
mm-hmm.
or the not real art world.
The not real art world, yes.
And, you know, when I'm, for example, at Dodger Stadium, and one of the ushers asks for my autograph, and then, like, the rest of the people in the in the stands are looking at it like, who the hell is this idiot?
Well, they feel like losers because they don't know who you are.
Yeah, they're like, you know, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And then I'm at Disneyland, and one of the operators, like, lets us cut in line because they know who I am.
Mm.
So once in a while, it's like, oh, that's cool, I guess, you know.
Right.
But, you know, my landlord doesn't give a shit.
He wants his rent.
Yeah, he wants his rent. So, you know, sometimes it doesn't transfer. But it is an interesting thing about L.A. And, you know, I think other cities have that. But in L.A., we're just so jaded by it, too.
Yeah.
You know? So... You know, when you meet people from small towns and they come to L.A. or you visit them and they're like, oh, my God, do you know?
So I have a story about that. Right?
Yeah.
So you saw The Matrix.
Yeah.
Okay. So you remember that scene where the guy asks the character, well, you know, you're going to have to – you can become someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what would you want to be?
Right.
And he says, I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
You remember that scene?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Well, okay, so I saw The Matrix twice, okay?
Right.
I saw it once in Chicago the first time, and I saw it for a second time in L.A.
Okay.
Okay? And in Chicago, when that scene came up,
like,
well, what do you want to be? I said, I want to be an actor. Like, the crowd was just silent.
Oh, really?
It was just silent.
Okay. Because
it was, like, serious. Like the crowd, the Chicago crowd were like, oh, yeah, actor.
Oh, I thought they were going to laugh.
No, in L.A., they laughed.
Oh, really?
In L.A.,
huh? Yeah,
the guy goes, the guy yeah. says like, yeah, I want to be an actor, and the whole crowd just cracked up.
Oh, that's pretty funny.
You know, it's like, yeah, yeah. LA's, you know,
right,
jaded, you know?
Right, yeah. And then when he told them if he wanted the blue pill or the red pill,
right,
you know,
give me both, I'll take two.
All the Crips got pissed off when he chose the red.
Oh, right, of course they would.
Did he choose the red? What did he choose?
Good question, man.
I forgot what he chose.
Yeah, you know, he chose the wrong one.
He chose the wrong one, whatever it was.
Yeah. The placebo. I can't choose. That's why I just take two.
Take two. Call a doctor in the morning.
Yeah. What happened to the money in my bank account?
Yeah.
Chris Rock has that bit about when you're going to the ATM, you know, 2 a.m, there should be like a little guy that pops up on the screen like, what are you doing?
Right.
Why do you need $300 at 2 a.m?
Yeah, right.
Can't be good.
Save your ass. Yeah, nothing good happens at 3 a.m.
That's right. That's right. Nothing. Yeah, after midnight.
After midnight. Used to say. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, well, so you've been busy, very busy.
Yeah.
What's happened? So you illustrated and did the art for your first children's book.
Yeah.
The Roy Choi Street Food Remix.
Yeah.
And it's winning all kinds of awards, I understand.
Yep.
I think you were on a TV interview the other day for it. What's happening with the children's book?
So interesting that this children's book thing is such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea how big the children's book world thing is. But, yeah, we're winning awards. We were recently in Texas at the Texas Library Association Conference because we're up for the Blue Bonnet Award in Texas, which is like a huge deal. Going to be receiving the Seibert Award honor in New Orleans later this summer at the ALA Conference. It's amazing. I have no idea like where this all came from, you know, but now getting a little taste of it, I'm starting to see, well, of course, this is winning awards, you know?
Right.
And the reason I say that is because when you look at the landscape out there of who authors for children's books are, who the illustrators are, there's such a need for people of color to be writing and illustrating.
Sure.
And I'm in Texas, where 48% of Texans are of Latino descent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no books being written in Spanish.
What the fuck, dude?
Or bilingual. Or by people of color or whatever. And it's like there's such a need. And
that's bad business even for racists.
Right?
I mean, you know, if you're going to be a racist, you should at least make, you know, you know, be a smart business person.
Right, exactly.
Jesus.
So it's so amazing that like this is winning awards, but you know, it's opening all kinds of doors with libraries and librarians around the country. I just did a piece that's going to air on NPR. And you know, it's just, it's really great. I mean, I'm looking forward to hopefully some more projects now that I got a taste of it. But more than that, it's just like, you know, you realize the influence you have, in these communities with these kids, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's a helicopter flying by.
Yeah, ghetto bird, as we call them here.
Yeah, right.
So, we're right in the hood. We won't disclose our location,
right.
But we're right in the hood.
Deep.
Yeah.
Shattered glass everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I mean, it's...
How did it come about? How did they find you?
I don't know how it all initially happened, but Readers to Eaters contacted me because...
I'm sorry. Who's Readers to Eaters?
Readers to Eaters is the publisher.
Okay.
And they were already putting this book together. They have a series of books on food heroes. And so this was going to be like the third book in that series.
Wait, they have a series of books on hero sandwiches?
Yeah, on hero sandwiches.
Okay.
Food heroes.
Food heroes. Okay.
Yeah. So then they wanted to, you know, do a story on Roy Choi, and the authors of this book are June Jo Lee and Jacqueline Briggs Martin, and they wrote the book, and the publisher got a hold of me through a mutual friend, actually, who recommended me because they wanted to do an authentic LA book. Obviously, it's an LA story about Roy Choi.
Roy Choi, shout out.
And so they wanted to do something that, you know, have an illustrator that was relevant to that. And so, yeah, so I got the call, and, you know, it's one of those calls that you get where you just got to do it, you know, right. Like no matter what the...
'Cause I got to believe the money was probably pretty lean, and the budget was probably not that fat, right?
Well, you know, it's especially in the book world, when it's your first time doing it, you can't be expecting all kinds of cash unless you're already an A-list celebrity.
So pay your dues.
Yeah. So you know, maybe on the next one I can ask for more, who knows?
$1 million.
Yeah. But yeah, it's one of those projects where, like, you just got to do it because, you know, I've been wanting to illustrate a book my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, but finding someone who's going to allow you to do your thing,
right,
and also pay you,
right,
and also distribute it,
yeah,
and publish it properly.
Sure.
That's the hard part. So, you know, when they reached out to me and showed me the concept, the project, I was like, let's do it. So, yeah, I'm really proud of it. I'm really happy the way it came out. And
well, I can tell you as as a parent myself of a 5-year-old and a 1-year-old, I am steeped in children's books.
Right.
And I can tell you that your book is truly one of a kind.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I haven't seen anything. Not that I've seen them all. I'm just right. saying, like, what I have seen, like, yours is, like, truly fresh and contemporary and cutting edge and innovative and
right.
It's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful, but it's yeah. but it's freaking cool. I mean, it looks amazing.
Yeah, you know, I did my best. Well, thank you for that. But you know, I hadn't seen graffiti in children's books really.
Yeah.
And if there is some books out there, I just wasn't aware of them. So I said, you know, I got to do something to really bring that element into it,
yeah,
and make it as authentic as possible. So most of the illustrations are actually spray painted onto canvas on a large scale and then photographed and then.
So wait, yeah. So to illustrate the imagery, uh-huh, of the book.
Right.
And the book is what, 10 by 14? I mean, well, how big? It's kind of a larger format, right?
Yeah.
It's like 8.5 by 11. Let's call it 8.5 by 11. Yeah,
it's a little bigger than that.
Bit bigger, right. Whatever. So anyways, what you're saying is you would paint on a canvas at a large scale.
Yeah, like 6-foot canvases.
The illustrations that would then be reproduced at, you know, 10 by 14 or whatever.
Yeah, so each spread, which is, you know, was a large canvas, like a 6-foot, 7-foot canvas.
Yeah.
And I spray painted the backgrounds, but then the actual detailed images and the... the stuff in the foreground was all done with pencil and then photoshopped and colorized,
right,
and then all put together, you know,
on
the computer. So it was a long process, but it has that kind of animation cell kind of feel, I think, because there's the hard lined illustration in the forefront and the soft background. So it creates kind of a nice effect. And then also I have there's a page in there about Watts, where I have a graffiti piece that says Watts, you know, and to me, that's my favorite page just because, like I said, I've always wanted to see an actual graffiti piece in a children's book.
Right.
And until now I hadn't seen that. So
you did it.
So, you know, I don't know if I'm the first, but it's definitely my favorite page and I enjoyed, doing it, and then also just getting the freedom from the publisher to really push what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
There was times when I wanted to be a little bit more conservative, and he was like, no, you know, push it, you know. So, yeah, it's kind of a fine balance about, you know, how do you bring in the streets and the graffiti, but still tell a story to 6-year-olds, you know?
It's a totally human story.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't get more real than Roy Choi growing up in L.A.
Right.
And finding his way.
But there's things in there where he's dealing with loneliness, where he's dealing with rejection, you know, the quote-unquote dark times.
Right.
And, you know, we had to figure out a way to illustrate that without making it, you know, an adult version.
Can I? So I don't know if I've told you this, but one of the things I really appreciate about the book is the amount of, you know, intellectual. Well, what am I trying to say? I mean, you it is clear that you have put so much thought into bringing this story to life with your art, and one of the things I enjoyed most about it was like even some of the hidden, kind of ideas, the hidden artwork inside the artwork,
right?
That if you know people aren't paying attention to, they're probably not going to see it, but it's there,
right?
And I don't know, I just think it speaks to the amount of love and passion that you put into the project to take it to that level.
Right.
You know,
well, it starts off right from the beginning. You know, the actual title is the Chef Roy Choi and the Street Food Remix.
Mm-hmm.
And the word remix is pretty important because it talks about a few different things, right? It talks about the remix in culture, you know, being him being a Korean, growing up in Los Angeles, Korean American,
making tacos,
right. You know, there's the you know, the fine world of what is the, you know, going to school and learning about
being a chef,
and then the street food culture of LA, and then there's the art and the graffiti, and then on top of all that, there's a love for music, you know, which I think was key in it. And if you look at the cover, I decided to do the portrait of Roy Choi, and the background is like, is instead of a brick wall, it's a wall of mixtapes,
right?
You know,
right.
And so those are subtle things that are in there, but they reference like his love for hip hop, my love for hip hop, and growing up in that generation, you know. So, and yeah, there's a ton of little hidden things throughout the book that reflect LA culture, or that talk about, you know, things that you would only know if you walked around Koreatown or or whatever, you know.
So this is what we have to do.
Yeah,
we got to get Roy on the show.
Yeah,
and have the three of us talk about, you know, his life, your book.
Yeah,
you know, growing up in LA, both of you growing up in LA. The book oozes LA, and it's so authentic and so rich.
Right.
And so we got to get him on the show, and we're running out of time, unfortunately. Real quick before we go, where can people buy the book?
Well, you can buy the book.
Let me guess. Amazon.com.
Yeah, but you know, you can't get a signed copy on Amazon.
Oh, okay.
But if you go to man1.com,
you
can get a signed
by
one.
By the way, AKA fuck Amazon.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, just look it up. Chef Roy Choi and the Street Food Remix. You know, published by Readers to Eaters, written by June Jolie and Jacqueline Briggs Martin. And you'll find it.
Get your signed copy at man1.com.
That's where you can get it.
All right. Later.
Peace.